song before the sermon. During that song before the sermon, Don took the Bible and the lectern, and he went to the back. Everybody was still singing. He went to the back and he set up in the back. And so when the song was done, you know, there was no worship leader up front. And Don said, "Well, turn around. Take your chair and turn around and now face me back here. The last shall be first, and the first shall be last." You know, on that particular Sunday, there were only two groups of people that the preacher upset. The feelers were still in the same place. The doers were still not here. But the thinkers were now in the front row, and the visually oriented seers were now in the back row. The seers couldn't see as well, and the thinkers were just a little too close to look at things objectively. Location, location, location makes a difference where we sit. Our social location makes a difference in how we see things and how we hear things, how we experience things. We gather on Sunday mornings here because we're disciples of Jesus Christ. We're called by the Spirit through the Word to follow Jesus, to grow in faith, to live in community with one another, to witness to the kingdom. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you're so much like the world around us, we're a little used to God. Other times you're so much like God, we're a little used to the world. It's hard. It's challenging to stay in that sweet spot between God and the world. To be disciples of Jesus Christ, it's hard. It's challenging. And we often need to be reminded of who we are and who we're called to be. The people in Jeremiah's day needed a prophecy from Jeremiah to remind them that they were God's people. They had not been practicing that so well as of late. They needed to be reminded. Jeremiah sounds a little bit like those of us that say to a child, "Where did I go wrong? Where did I go wrong that you don't remember what to do right now or what to say? Where did I go wrong?" Jeremiah says to the people that God wants to be God to them, wants their loyalty and wants their love, wants them to continue practicing justice and compassion. They're sometimes like God's people then, and God's people now. We need to be reminded. We need to hear a word from the Psalms about gratitude and to remember all that God has provided for us and to commit ourselves to this God who wants to fill us and satisfy us. You know, in our time, we're so bombarded with so much stuff that demands our attention, and it's sometimes hard. We need to be reminded to listen to God. Today's epistle lesson and all of its ethical admonitions, do not neglect to show hospitality. Welcome strangers. Remember those in prison. Hold marriage in honor. Keep yourselves free from the love of money. weeks ago, Rowan Vaness was preaching, and he read from Luke 12, and we learned that what we possess matters. Where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. The week after that, the gospel lesson had to do with Jesus' purpose. Some of us think that it's all about unity and peace. And Jesus said that his purpose was to bring God's word to God's people, and that might not create just unity and peace. It might disturb the status quo. Last week we learned that our actions matter. Jesus decided to do something that was against the rules, according to the Pharisees. He healed somebody on the Sabbath. Actions matter. What we do matters. What we don't do matters as disciples. And this week, where we sit matters. It's the Sabbath day again. Jesus heals somebody again, this time a man with dropsy. I don't know what that is. But then he is at this meal in the home of a Pharisee, and he watches where people are invited to sit. Meals are important times. He uses this opportunity to tell another one of his parables. Parables that, like at a wedding banquet. You know, the meal is important. The guest list is important. Jesus says to his disciples, it may be a time of social importance, you know, family members, friends of the family, neighbors, pastors and organists by the door to the luncheon, kitchen, employees. You know, it was structured socially. Says to his disciples, refrain from sitting down in the places of honor. Instead, sit at the other end of the table, where the common kind of people are, where the ordinary people are. Instead of trying to be seated in places of influence, power, and authority, sit down at the other end of the table. Verse 11 is the key. Those who want to be exalted will be humbled, and those who are humbled will be exalted. It's a turnaround, a polar switch. The North Pole becomes the South, the South becomes the North. Jesus is introducing a different way of playing with one another. Different social structure. Jesus goes on to tell another parable, this time not to his disciples, but to the host. Those of us that would be hosts, instead of inviting only people that can reciprocate, can turn around and ask us, no, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Not just family and friends and rich neighbors. Interesting. Jesus is putting into place a whole different system, not based on reciprocity. And in the process, people who have been marginalized now are included. when the real issue that we need to talk about is economics, about the differences between rich and poor, and those included and those excluded, and those with power and not with power. And the real message is to think at things from, to see things from God's perspective and from God's heart for justice and compassion. Why the poor? Why the crippled? Why the lame? Why the blind? Well, in the next parable in Luke, these are the people that are invited to the great banquet. And the great banquet is that image, that metaphor that Jesus uses about what the kingdom is supposed to look like. A great banquet, symbolic of the embracing of the Word of God. Jesus invites disciples to look at things from a different perspective, to relocate themselves from his end of the table, when we have opportunities to invite people to a party, we want to invite people that can't reciprocate, maybe, to reach out to people so loved by God. In recent years, I've had an opportunity to meet some people who take this passage seriously. They're members, there's community organizers who are members of a group called the Christian Community Development Association. And one of the first principles of people who are members of the Christian Community Development Association, they're located all over the cities of our nation. The first principle is that of relocation. They have to get up and move into the neighborhoods in which they're going to serve. They relocate. Some of them relocate. Some of them return to the places that they once tried to escape because they feel called to return. And others are remainers. They choose to remain in certain neighborhoods so that they can be a force for good. Relocators, returners, remainers. There's another group of folks in this Christian Community Development Association who are part of something called Communities First. And they practice community organizing not from a needs-based approach, but from an asset-based community development, ABCD, asset-based community. They live in neighborhoods, and they try to build relationships and unleash the assets and the gifts of the people that are already living there. You know what the good news is? We've got people from the Christian Community Development Association and Communities First right here in Holland. They work through Good Samaritan Ministries in neighborhoods like Washington School and West 4 and 360 and Heights of Hope, intentionally and deliberately choosing to live, to locate themselves in a place where they can represent. Not every one of us can do that, but all of us can do things intentionally and deliberately to reach out to others, to build relationships with others, and through knowing people kind of inside out to represent and represent them, us, to God. Matters for